Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host, Glenn Martin. And you'll notice that the list stops there because DK is not with us tonight. He's got some business to attend to. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, he could not make it. But we are here the day after Thanksgiving and ready to talk about this Baltimore Ravens-Chargers game. Glenn, how are you doing this lovely evening?
Doing well. Black Friday wasn't like the...
Yeah, did you make it through?
It wasn't the scary thing that you always envision. It wasn't too bad. I will say I got myself or my son one of those puffer coats with a hood. $20.
Nice.
You know what I mean? $20, bro. So, yeah, it's been a good day. Got to watch some football. Well, actually listen to some football, I should say. I didn't get to watch, but I got to listen to the game on the radio. And
there you go.
Yeah, so it's a good day. Excited about this weekend. Sunday night football is my favorite presentation of football. Just overall,
they do a great job.
I'm not a fan of sitting around all day waiting for the game. That I will say. So I like 1 o'clock games for that reason. But best presentation, better than Monday night, better than Thursday night, better than them all. Sunday night football. It's just a shame it's not in the bank. Yeah. But you know, Sunday night nonetheless.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. I'm really looking forward to this game. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think the team will be excited to get some nice weather, most likely out in LA. Mm-hmm. Have some fun out there for a nice weekend. But yeah, I'm with you. I was going to tell you, fun fact, you know how much Amazon paid for this game tonight to air this Friday game?
How much, dude?
$100 million for one game. You know why? It was all strategic. I was reading about this. You know why?
Why is that?
Get people out of stores, dude.
Get them home.
Get them home. And you inundate them with Amazon ads.
That's
Amazon doesn't want brick and mortar sales, right?
Like, why go out to the store? You could just order from home
and watch a football game.
Yeah, well, I'm sure a lot of people chose to do that as well. And yeah, it doesn't surprise me, no doubt.
Wild, but man.
Yeah,
the world has changed.
No kidding. No lines, no tent city hanging out at the outside of a department store waiting for them
for
to open
PlayStation
it.
2.
Yeah. It's a new day, but But yeah, man, it's an important game. Obviously, AFC matchup is super important, and AFC North, although have been recently struck with some quarterback injuries, is still a very tight race, and the Ravens can't afford to lose AFC games, period. So I'm excited to get into this one, Jimbo. It's a talented team, but a team that is in a bit of trouble right now. I'm sure you've seen their head coach coming under more scrutiny after, you know, having some more, you know, disappointing results on the field, and they're at a pivotal point in their season right now, and I'm hoping that we just put their season right to rest with this.
Yeah, you know, they're like, it's the you catch the fish on the hook, you know, it's the final, it's like squirming, it's last, just
sink the hook, dude. Set it. That's get him on the pier.
I was thinking of something much more violent, but
oh geez.
You know,
come on, man, come on.
You want to know something really actually, I don't know. PETA might not be happy about this. When I was a kid, we used to go down to the creek. Like a kid, right? A kid, all right?
Oh, dude, don't.
Am I getting myself in trouble here?
Don't.
Nah, I'm going to say it anyway. I was a kid. What are you going to do about it? Dude, waterproof firecrackers?
No.
We catch the fish and shove it in its mouth and throw the fish back in the water and boom!
Are you Sid from Toy Story? What is going on here, dude?
It was. We only did it like, we had like a weekend where we went crazy on the fish. But, you know, we were on a bender, dude. We were on a waterproof firecracker bender, bro. Anyway, that was a good time.
Let's see here. Shout out to Tyler. He says, Unc, when I say the bank was loud, it was so effing loud. Been to lots of games. This was easily the loudest. Also, B. Steve Island is surrounded by deep waters. Yes, Brandon Stevens is on an island, and he ain't scared of it.
Nope.
Like a lot of these other cats are. Put him on the island.
Mm-hmm.
He relishes the occasion to be challenged. But, yeah, I mean, no doubt. I mean, Tyler said it. His father said it. That place was absolutely insane, and you love to see it. You love to see the hometown team represent and – you know, the fans let them know, you know,
yeah, and make a difference and be, that's, I mean, it's so cool to be able to participate in the game one way or another as a fan. So yeah, I agree with Tyler on this one. That's awesome. And obviously I agree with his point about Brandon Stevens. That's my guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love everything about this kid. But I think the best thing to do in regards to this game is start with health, right? Got to talk about injuries. I mean, we saw another devastating one today for the Dolphins with Jalen Phillips.
I think with the Achilles. I like that guy. That's the guy who had all those concussions. You remember? Yeah,
had the concussions, and
they ruled him ineligible
in college, and he went to Miami.
Yep.
You know, yeah, you got on the Florida Wild West. Yeah, you know, it's everything's optional. So.
Yeah, it's true.
You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, he's like, you want to play football? Come on down to Florida.
But, dude, and,
yeah,
he had 8.5 sacks as a rookie, had a good sophomore season, was beast mode this year. It's a shame for him.
Yeah, got a running mate, of course, with Nick Chubb. Yeah, man, tough one. So, you know, we'll hope for the best for him. But luckily for him, I think the old injuries will mentally help his bounce back, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's certainly equipped to handle that. But all right, let's get into
the Ravens list has gotten long again, Glenn. We had some weeks.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't think it's as grim as it is. The list is long, you know?
That's fair.
So let's get into some of the ones that are obvious. Mark Andrews, not going to be out there. He did not participate, and obviously he's out until maybe the Super Bowl if he makes it. That's the only one that I am aware of on this. I mean, Malik Harrison and is not going to participate either. I don't think he's going to play at all. But that's the only one that on this list that I know of that is a for sure. Oh, and Trenton Simpson. I guess I didn't count him because he doesn't do a ton on regular defense. But they're the only ones that I think are definite outs. That's not that bad, right?
No, I mean, you're right. But Marlon ain't playing.
You don't think so? Yeah.
I don't, like you said, I agree with you. And I don't always agree with you about this stuff, but I don't want him to play this game because I think there's a larger issue there.
Yeah, you're just worried about that Achilles, ain't you?
That is a time. Like, how many snaps we got left? You know what I mean? Forget about it. Right? So, I don't.
What's your take on Ronnie? Because he participated in full and said on Thursday, actually, he might have said it today, that he expects to play this Sunday despite not getting a session in on Friday.
Look. 60% of Ronnie, if he's willing to go, is better than 60% of the left tackles in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I want him out there. I'd love that, right? Because then McCary moves back to that six-man role. Yeah, I mean, that just makes it go. So I'd love to have Ronnie back, even not at his absolute best. Now, one other thing to note here, Glenn, Mark is out. Charlie Kohler has been missing as well.
Illness, though.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
needs the reps. You know.
Yeah, he didn't practice today.
Yeah.
And so is the illness still plaguing him?
Could be. Or this could be more of the reason why we saw the addition to the practice squad for a tight end. Maybe they don't think he might not be able to go this week, which would be not a good, you know, that'd be a tough one for the Ravens.
In tight end room for sure. That would be a tough one. We'll be interested I'll be interested to see what happens there. I've said it once, I'll say it again. Illness should not keep you out of a game.
No.
Unless it's you're in the hospital illness.
Yeah.
Just take the good stuff, dude, and get out
there.
Right.
That's right.
You know, I'm not saying for injuries, but for illness.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, anyway. So, all right. Well,
you have the flu game, dude, like Jordan go down in history.
Yeah, man. I mean, think about how much.
Think of the moment.
Yeah. Well, and think about, I mean, how. Yeah. Anyway, it's not very hard to prop yourself up medically. Like medicinally, I guess you should say, like, if you're on, you know, if you got a sickness, at least in my opinion. But
now Odell Beckham participated in full today. He says himself he's a game time decision. What do you think?
He's playing for sure because he knows what this moment is. I'm excited to talk about this because he knows what this moment is, I think, more than any other wide receiver. I think this is his opportunity to say to people, this is why you brought me here. His get up on the scores table, Dwayne Wade. You know, type scenario where, look, Mark Andrews is out. The chips are on the chips are on the table. Everyone, I believe, and I'm going to talk about this, is a little nervous offensively to see how this works without Mark Andrews. I not that they're not confident, but a little nervous.
It's unsure.
Yeah. Now it's an opportunity. Think about it, right? Like you got a team of sled dogs, right? And you lose the leader. I mean, Mark is the lead sled dog when it comes to the pass catchers. Like, let's be honest.
When it comes to pass catchers, I mean, Lamar's certainly the leader.
Certainly. But Lamar's the musher, dude.
Yeah, there
you go. You know, he's saying right, left.
He's the one steering it. I got
you. Yeah, okay. That's right. But, like, you lose your lead, then it's like, okay, let's figure out who we're putting up front. And I think this is an awesome opportunity for Odell Beckham Jr. So I think he's out there. I think he understands the profoundness of this moment for sure.
Yeah, and Rashad Bateman had a bit of a scare Wednesday, left practice early with the foot, but good news is bounce back, full participant in back-to-back days. Looks like he's on track.
But let's hope it doesn't slow him down because he's been looking excellent, right?
And he said it was just precautionary. He said all the right things, and the practice report reflects what he said to be true. Zay Flowers also missed some practice Thursday, back out there Friday, says he's definitely playing this week. So as bad as it looks as far as the length, it doesn't look like, you know, these guys are going to miss at least any of the key contributors outside of Marlon Humphrey and possibly Ronnie Stanley. But Ronnie himself said he expects to play. And then you look down at the Chargers here. Keenan Allen's certainly an important name, but he's going to play. No doubt about it. He got in a practice session today. The guys on here that really were of concern.
Yeah, they're all going to play.
They're all going to play. Slater, their talented left tackle, one of the very best. He's going to play. Obviously, Justin Herbert has no issues. He's going to be out there. Gerald Everett's the one I think that had some question, but if you're getting all that practice in a week, I got to expect him playing. And the same goes with Donald Parham. Their tight ends look like they're going to suit up.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. And obviously it's not like I want a team full of, you know, I want guys to be injured, but there is a certain like, oh dang, they look a lot healthier than us type feel to it. You know what I mean? Which is not an excuse. Yeah. And I'm not scared. Like, bring it, you know, but it is something to consider in this match.
War of attrition, man.
Yeah, it is absolutely that. So that's what we look like going in. All right, let's get in these matchups now, Glenn. I'm excited to talk about this because we've said it. I mean, we've said this a lot of times on the show. They're in the AFC, so we know them, but they are across the country playing, of course, in a different time zone. So, you know, getting to know them a little bit more is important here in comparison to those that are in our division who we know well.
Yeah.
Right. Now, we've played in recent years. We've played the Chargers a lot. I feel like since Lamar's been here, we've played the Chargers and the Dolphins a lot. It just kind of has worked out.
Maybe
that
it's lined up. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, let's talk about this Chargers defense. Who's got, like you said, Glenn, names on names on names. And then the Ravens offense. So talk to me about now. One thing I do want to mention though, really quickly, Bosa went out last week, right? Wasn't that just last week he went out with a season-ending injury?
Yep.
So that's a huge name for them, but they still got plenty of names over there.
Yeah, they do. It's one of the weirder things because it's like every year they seemingly add another big name, and yet it just never seems to mesh well. And it's another classic case. You bring in a guy known for whatever, you know, known for his offense, known for his defense. In this case, Staley, known for his defense, and yet has consistently had an underperforming defense in his tenure, and he continues to hold on to the play calling duties. He refuses to relinquish those despite the many questions he gets from the LA media asking why that is. He gets a little snippy when he's getting asked that at this point. But opposing offenses have scored, they're 23rd in points. They give up 23.8 points per game. They're 31st in yards. They give up 393 yards per game. They're seventh and third down. So that's pretty good. They're top 10 there. They allow opponents to convert third downs at a 35.6% rate. On the ground, opponents rush for 102 yards per game, which is 12th in the league. And then passing yards per game, they're 32nd, Jimbo. Dead last in passing yards, giving up 291.6 a game. So despite the fact that they got some names, I mean, they got a young Asante Samuel Jr. They got a lot of juniors on their team. I was diving into Derwin James Jr. Obviously, they're all pro stud safety. Asante Samuel, their former first-round pick and son of, I mean, one of the greats in Asante Samuel. They got Junior there. They got Kenneth Murray Jr., who was the guy in discussion, right, when Pat Queen was being taken. Yep. He was in that mix. And then offense, they got Parham Jr. So they got a lot of juniors out there, but they got names. Khalil Mack is leading the way defensively in their front seven. But it's just strange when you look at just their lack of – they just don't play well together. Like there's always somebody breaking down. There's coverage. There's blown coverages. And yet you look around, you go, how is this talent not producing better than dead last in pass yard, you know, defense?
Yeah, just in general. I mean, I think that what you just mentioned is the Chargers as a whole. It's not even just a defensive problem.
Yeah.
Like, you look at the names. I firmly believe that if you took the names away from it and you just put roster on roster, like, how are they not the best team in the AFC West? You know what I mean? If you just break down the roster and you remove you made all the teams a mystery. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Mahomes and a Kabul of guys, right? Outside of Kelsey, right? Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, anyway, so absolutely a team that's underperforming. And like you said, not the best at playing as a team instead of individuals, right?
Right, right. Yep.
And I think that that's going to be an opportunity for this Ravens offense. I mean, and it was interesting. It even was reflected in the stat you're mentioning. Some things they're really good. Other things they're just so bad.
Yep.
It's just odd to me. Like, I feel like every defense has its strengths and weaknesses, but generally maybe it's because I'm used to looking at our defense, who is obviously a very good defense, but even overall, I don't know of anything, any category where our defense is just basement of the league.
Dead last.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a weird thing mm-hmm. that we're up against. But I mean, look, you guys know about this Ravens offense, and this is really what I want to talk about, Glenn. What we're going to see, I already kind of mentioned it, what we're going to see this week coming up in comparison mm-hmm. to last week. I don't want to be over dramatic or hyperbolic about the idea that, you know, Mark's not going to be that, how much is going to change. Our offense is still going to look like it's looked, but I believe this is going to be significant. I'll go on record saying this, Glenn. The way the Ravens react to this, respond offensively, and are able to pivot will make or break our run. I firmly believe that. If the Ravens can't get through the fact that Mark is not there, that Lamar's, security blanket is not there, and find a way to continue to produce and match that in a number of guys, obviously not just one guy, but if they can't psychologically get over that, if Lamar can't psychologically get over that as an offense, we're going to have some serious problems, and I think it could have profound effects on us in the playoffs. So, I'm really interested to see how this offense does without Mark. Are there some things that, so in my mind, I'm concerned about a few things. I'm not overly concerned, but I think about like third downs. I also think about like Lamar's plays that make him so special. They always seem to go to Mark. Not always, but like a lot, right? But like when the play breaks down and Lamar's doing his thing,
mm-hmm.
Mark just, they know how to read each other, right? Even though I think it's funny, I swear all Mark does is just break up the field. Like it's no magic. Mm-hmm. I swear, dude, 80% of the time he's just like, well, I'm just going vertical, chuck it, type thing, right? But they have this relationship. So how do the Ravens bounce back from that? How do they, coalesce as an offense with this big, space gone, right? So like, how do you envision this working?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be obviously a team effort, but I think OBJ is going to be a big, you talked about the importance mm-hmm. of him stepping up. If there's no question the Ravens like to attack the middle of the field, and typically Mark Andrews is roaming the middle of the field with him out. Yeah. Likely he's going to have to pick up some of the slack and he'll run some of the same stuff that Andrews does, but also OBJ, I love moving him inside the hash marks. Let's let these young guys like Bateman, who just puts, I mean, if you look at his separation numbers, he is separating at the elite of elite levels. I'm talking the best of the very best is what he's doing as far as separation. Put him on the outside. The same can be said, obviously, with Zay Flowers. I mean, this guy's an absolute separation waiting to happen. So let those guys be on the outside, and let's let OBJ roam the inside the hashes and absorb some of that role that Mark Andrews is leaving behind. I think that's why he's here. That's why he's making all that money. It's more than just what's in the numbers. It's the versatility he brings. It's the fact that he can do multiple different things, and he's savvy enough to take advantage of certain holes in the zone and all that stuff. So yeah, OBJ, obviously Isaiah Likely, Charlie Kohler. When we get down the red zone, I think they're going to ask him when he's healthy and not dealing with an illness. I think he'll be a participant in the red zone for sure. But yeah, it's a team effort, man. I mean, I'm waiting for Bateman. I called him as my breakout mm-hmm. player last week. He did have the touchdown, but didn't have a ton of volume.
Mm-hmm.
But watch for Bateman. It's like he's playing so well, but it's getting overshadowed because he's not getting a ton of numbers. But he is separating. He's getting open, and he's not letting anything get through his hands.
Yeah. No, I like that. And you know, you stole my thunder a little bit, Glenn, but that's okay. That's okay because we're a team, right?
That's what we do. I thought you were just teeing me up.
That's right. I was going to say, I was just a setup is what it is, the volley, you know?
That's it.
Because I couldn't agree with you more. I think, like I said, the magnitude of this moment is everything. And I think that OBJ is the guy to step up and corral this unit and say, hey, we can do this thing together. We got the guys here in house to get it done. And look, that's bringing along Kohler. That's bringing along Isaiah. That's making them feel like they belong and making them feel comfortable in their role. But leaders lead from the front. And so my belief is that OBJ will be my I'm choosing him as my breakout player of the game. I think he you know, he obviously last game had a game. I think he's just, you know, he's getting the itch, right? He's starting to feel a little bit. It's getting later in the season. This is what we brought him here for. And so I think that this will be a moment for Odell Beckham Jr. I'm really looking forward to it. And I agree. I think that that's how we do it. Now, the other thing outside of my breakout player of the game and you know, offensively, what do you expect from the tight end room? We'll say Kohler goes, right?
Okay.
Do you think that between Kohler and Isaiah Likely, they will equal the amount of targets that Mark would traditionally get in a game? Or you think still that number has a precipitous drop to it?
I think it's possible, but I think that depends on their success early on. If you see Likely take advantage of a few early targets, then we could see very much so their combination being close to what he gets target wise. But if he drops a couple, like we saw early in his career when given the opportunity, then I think those targets dry up in the second half. I think it's natural. Let's say if Mark gets 8 targets, you know, 7 targets a game, maybe the tight end group now is down to 6 a game or maybe 5 a game. And then OBJ and Bateman absorb, and hopefully to some degree, Zay Flowers absorbs some of the target share, because it's a big void. But my whole thing is, do you 11 sacks? Khalil Mack's got 11 sacks so far. He loses his running mate with Bosa, but he's still a heck of a player in himself. Do you get concerned when you see what big time pass rushers have done to our offensive line? I look at Myles Garrett and what he was able to do. He pretty much wrecked the game by himself. Mm-hmm. And if Ronnie's not able to go, let's say they err on the side of caution with Ronnie, and it is Patrick McCary back out there. Do you start to get concerned that a game-wrecking pass rusher could start to make this look like a Browns game that we lost at the last second?
I can see your point. The only thing I would say to counter that would be the Browns defense as a whole is just better, right? So, like, what makes a pass rush good is a good secondary, right? Like, not that we've talked about the Chargers have names, but look at the things that what makes a good pass rush good? Well, stopping the run.
Put him in third and long.
Yeah, you know what I mean? The Chargers, right? So I think that I'm not as worried about an individual taking over. And then still, I mean, Myles Garrett might be in a category of his own at this point, right? Like
he's just amazing, dude.
Yeah. It's
so good. Insane, right? He's so good. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's not fair. I'm sure there'll be a rule made one day, you know, in order to, because he has some sort of unfair advantage, right? Like,
yeah, they'll probably find something. But so 11 sacks, not bugging you.
Nah, not worried about it. I'm not worried about it. Not like it would be some other guys. Just because I think that you got to have running mates.
Yeah.
In the whole defensive unit. And I don't believe in their unit. Right.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. But I mean, I just kind of want to wrap up this point with this.
Why don't I hear you anymore?
You can't hear me?
You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, there we go. Now I got you. Okay.
Oh, sorry. I just want to kind of wrap up this point, my point with this question to you. Our offense has had moments where they're really humming, right? Do you believe we can still get to the same heights without Mark?
That's a good question.
It can look totally different.
I like to think so. Right? Yeah, I think you're right. It will look different, and that's kind of going into some of our over-unders later, is because I do think it will be a bit of a new look to the offense, in that it will have to involve some more of the outside guys as well as those replacements. But I think it's possible. I mean, we haven't really seen the integration of Bateman fully back into this offense. Yeah, he had a touchdown, but he had 2 targets, caught both of them. And a lot of times that's what we're seeing, 2 targets, 1 to. So maybe this just opens up an opportunity for other guys to take advantage of. And I hope they make the most of it. So for me, it's pretty simple. I mean, there's a couple names I think can wreck this game. And those two names that I think could wreck it are Derwin James and Khalil Mack. And I'm going to just single out Khalil Mack. And to me, the key to the game is you just can't let him blow the game up. Because typically his sacks come in bunches. He'll have games where he has three sacks. And then he'll have a couple where he doesn't do anything. And then he'll have four sacks in the next game. And just don't let this be one of those games that Khalil Mack has three or four sacks. Because we know how it is. A turnover can totally shake the confidence of this offense. Let's call it what it is. If they have a bad throw because he's forcing a hurried throw or an off-platform throw, and all of a sudden that ball is going the other way for a pick six from Derwin James, the whole script changes and the momentum shifts, and it makes me nervous. So just don't let Khalil Mack blow this freaking game up. And I think you'll be in good shape. My breakout player is Rashad Bateman. I've been saying it. I'm going to keep saying it because he's this close. He is separating at such an elite level. And now the targets are going to be coming with Mark out. So Rashad Bateman, my breakout player. And don't let it. Khalil blow up the game.
I love it. Love it. Love it. And I'll tell you what, my offensive key to the game, I talked about my player, but my offensive key to the game is really keep it simple, stupid, right? So like, what I mean by that is, like, let's not get crazy. Mm-hmm. Let's not throw away the baby with the bathwater because Mark is out, right?
Yeah.
Like, this vacuum seal has been opened, but let's quickly reconfigure and shut it, right? Like, my thing is just keep it simple. Like, Monken, don't get in your head. Ravens players, don't get in your head. Like, we can figure this out. We have the guys, but let's not get crazy. Glenn will say that every once in a while to me. If I'm about to give some take.
Fired up after a loss.
That's right. Yeah, if I'm fired. Exactly, right? But, yeah, let's not get crazy here. And let's just stay the course because it's a long season. And we got postseason out in front of us. So let's figure this thing out. But let's not get all... Like, I don't want us to feel like we got to do it with trick plays and goofy stuff and double reverses and... No, yeah. Like we can just line up and play ball. We got the guys. You know what I'm saying?
I like that. I like that. And let's see here. Don C, he wants to see an improvement in one part of the offense. Yeah. He says, hope Thanksgiving was great. And I certainly hope the same for you, Don, the legend always. That is Don C. Why can the Ravens not figure out the art of the screen? We look like a JV squad in the screen game. Well, I will say
this. We almost had one with the same play.
Yeah, it looked pretty good with Zay, dude. Looked pretty good other than that
worst penalty call in my life. I mean,
but part of it, I think, is, and it could be that they don't dedicate enough time to it, but I think part of it is they've been drafting linemen to play a power scheme for the last how many years under Greg Roman, and I think they just haven't drafted linemen that are really good at getting out there outside of Linderbaum, of course, because he can do pretty much everything. But Linderbaum and Ronnie, when healthy, can do those things. But with a bum leg, you know, I don't know how much he's getting out there and moving. So I think it's just a combination of who they've been drafting and probably just lack of commitment to it. But yeah, I'd like to see. But like Jimmy said, Zay had a 60-yard touchdown wiped off the board. So, or maybe even more than that.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was a. I mean, this whole thing would look so different from a screen game perspective. So, Don, I tell you what, to your point. I mean, I don't think Monk is going to go away from that. He saw it work, and it was a bogus call. So, you know, he might be reading your mind, Don. We know he watches the show, so, you know, feel free to put a chat in there, Monk. Let us know what's going on.
Yeah, now let's get into our defense versus their offense. Because you talk about names. I mean, the names are galore on the offensive side of the ball. Now, of course, like every year and every team, they have some of those names sitting on the sideline. Mike Williams hasn't been out there for quite some time. They're a talented wide receiver, but they still got guys out there, and they have gotten healthier since the early part of the season. So, offensively, their rankings are, they are 8th in the league in points per game. They average just a shade under 26 points per game. Yards, they're 11th, 354 yards per game. Third down percentage, they're 9th, so top 10. They convert third downs 43% of the time. Now, here's where things start to get a little bit slower offensively. Rushing yards per game, they're 18th. They average 105 yards per game on the ground. Let's see. Passing yards, they're ninth, 248 through the air. The big thing with them is they just always seem to come up just short in key moments. Last week, they had a perfect opportunity to win the game with their talented first-round pick, Quentin Johnston, running down the right sideline for what would have been a 70-yard game-winning touchdown. It hits him dead in his hands. Oof. Right through his hands. Keenan Allen, their talented pass catcher, right over the middle in the end zone. Goes like this to catch it. Boof. Right off his chest. They just always seem to come up short, Jimbo, in every big moment. How can that be that an organization over the years, different players, different coaches, how does it that just the stink stays with an organization and they can't shake it?
That one I don't understand. I don't.
It's crazy. Even when Schottenheimer was there, they were always good. Yeah. Phillip Rivers, always good. Came up short.
Yeah, that one perplexes me, right? Because, you know, the Browns have always been bad in other ways, right? They've just been horrendous, right?
Any talent.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, it's hard when it's not a lack of talent thing.
It is, isn't it?
Because, I mean, just look at their stable of quarterbacks they've had, wide receivers and, dude, you know.
Tight ends.
Yeah.
Gates and, I mean, it seems like they've had Ladanian and, I mean, my goodness. But, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that Antonio Gates has more touchdowns and yards than all of our wide receivers in franchise history combined. No, I'm being a bit sarcastic, but yeah, I mean, you're right. They've had weapons. It is an odd thing. But you know, their offense is funny to me because it just resembles their defense. They're just Jekyll and Hyde. Is that how that goes?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, everyone, look, I just want to shout out to my family. I love them very much. Yesterday, I found myself in a heated argument. Not heated. That's not true. Heated argument. But I found myself in a situation where I was defending Lamar Jackson. It was not that heated. Like, okay. Relative to me. Like, you know how, like, I'll get heated. Like, So it was not like that. It wasn't like basketball heated. It wasn't anywhere near that. But it was, you know, I had to find myself standing up for Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Right? Haters were around.
Yeah. And, you know, all these people want to talk about all these other guys.
Mm-hmm.
You could take Justin Herbert. Go ahead. What has he done?
That's right. You have him.
Yeah. I mean, so like for me, their offense is just, yeah, they're hit and miss. And Justin Herbert looks good. But look, you got to do it in the big moments, man. This is Sunday Night Football, prime time. Mm-hmm. Like you got to play a full game. So my only point was that I love Lamar Jackson as a ball player.
Isn't it hard when people come at them and they expect you to agree with them? They're like Huntley's almost as good, right?
Now, there was none of that being thrown around.
And you're like, I'm leaving.
Yeah, no, there was none of that being thrown around. But certainly, I've come full circle on this. I don't even remember what I said about this last year totally. But I believe, because there was accusations that Lamar sat out on purpose last year in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
And I firmly believe that, as competitive as I am about everything in my life that can be competed upon, there is zero chance that a human who's in majority of his identity and life and career is playing football, he's not going to miss out on the chance to play in the playoffs if he physically can. I have zero belief that that would happen. Anyway, that's my whole diatribe. But yeah, so what I'm trying to say, full circle three times around, is that they got names, just like you said, Glenn, but their offense doesn't make me nervous. They just don't. Mm-hmm. Maybe they should. They're at home. It's a long trip out west, but
yeah,
I'm not too nervous about it.
Well, Asad, he's liking the primetime game. He says, I'm glad we're getting primetime games late in the season because this can boost Lamar's MVP chances. These receivers get to prove their worth Sunday night. Yeah, you'll certainly be the talk of the town if they go into LA and they put a whooping on the Chargers and Lamar has a big game. There's no doubt that'll likely be the lead story on Get Up Monday morning. And I'm all for that, Jimbo. Yeah. I mean, I love the exposure. I love it. Let's just hope that they got to play well though. Right. Like, because it can go the other way too, if they don't play well and things go south. So, yeah.
But I also say this, Asad, I agree with your point, But I want this game in primetime to go well for the Ravens. Not necessarily because I'm excited about Lamar improving his MVP chances, but because obviously, you know, I want us to play well, go deep in the playoffs. Not that you don't either, but that's the really point I'm trying to make is that it's exciting this year that Lamar doesn't have to be heroic every game. And I'm hoping that we can win another, you know, we can beat another team who's most likely going to be battling for some sort of a, you know, they'll have some sort of scenario in which this team loses, this team ties, and this team folds that they'll make it into the playoffs, right? And they'll come into the fourth quarter. Like, just like you said, I want to put them out of their misery now, but it's exciting to be able to do that without Lamar having to drop, you know, incredible numbers.
Yeah, I could see Gus getting two tutties this game, Mitchell getting another one. And Lamar coming out of this game with no touchdowns, and I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, it would ruin my fantasy week, but look, I don't care. That's true. At the altar of fantasy, I could give two craps.
It would ruin my
right? Like, I literally don't care because, like you said, I would rather, in my order of priorities when it comes to Ravens football, let's just go out there and get it done. And it is refreshing that Lamar doesn't have to do everything. Don't you think?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, no doubt about it. I love the fact that we're so much more versatile as an offense. But you know what's weird? You talk about versatility as an offense, and oftentimes when we're talking on here, we talk about the connection of Mark and Lamar. And some people say it's too strong. They say spread the ball out more. Uh-huh. They say, why is one guy so obviously the target? And oftentimes we say, who cares? Throw it to your best guy.
Yeah.
And we always say, well, it's probably the same there. It's probably the same over here with this guy and that guy. Look at Kelsey's target share. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
Well, it just, you know, no further evidence is needed than looking at the stat sheet for the LA Chargers. Because let me tell you, their second leading target getter, the second leader, is Joshua Palmer. He has 39 targets, followed closely by Austin Ekeler with 38 targets total in the year. So 39 is second. Jimbo, first on this list is Keenan Allen with 113.
Oh my gosh.
So when we talk about target share, okay, look around the league before you start criticizing, because 113 targets is what Keenan Allen has gotten compared to 39 for Joshua Palmer in second.
Well, I think we know who Brandon Stevens is worried about this game.
Absolutely. So, guys, just stop Keenan Allen. And then when Keenan Allen isn't getting it, Austin Eckler's getting the ball. So either they're handing it to Eckler.
Or throwing it to him.
Or throwing it to Eckler. Or they're throwing it to Keenan Allen. And that's just how it is in L.A. when you're playing the Chargers. Now, in the red zone, they like to target their tight ends. I mean, Keenan Allen's still, again, their leader in everything, including red zone targets and touchdowns. But Parnum Jr. has 4 touchdowns on the season, and he only has 19 total grabs, and 4 of those grabs are touchdowns. So he's targeted heavily in the red zone, as well as Gerald Everett, who, again, 21 catches, already has 2 touchdowns. So, between the 80s, it's literally all Eckler and Keenan Allen, Jimbo. That's it.
That number is insane.
Yeah.
Glenn. That is just absolutely incredible. And it's funny because I feel like the Ravens do a really good job at, I mean, yeah, Mark would get the lion's share, but certainly in comparison to other teams, it's well-documented now. Yeah. We can see that the Ravens do a good job at moving the ball around, and the Chargers do not. But I'll tell you what, Glenn, to your point, and the way they play offensively abodes right into my defensive key to the game, but also my defensive player. I just want to talk about a defensive key to the game because I think the Chargers always find themselves in this situation. The Ravens struggle defensively with double-digit leads and the fourth quarter. And so my concern is that the Chargers always find a way, just like you said, from Drew Brees to Phillip Rivers to Justin Herbert, the script does not change. They get down, and all of a sudden, they start storming back. Mm-hmm. Right? And so my concern is that they'll get down double digits. We'll get to the fourth quarter. You know, we're doing one of these on the couch and, you know, one eye open watching the game. It's late on a Sunday night. All of a sudden, it's a 7-point ball game. Mm-hmm. And then it's a tie ball game, right? So in this, I think that football certainly, and the Chargers are the best example of this, it comes in waves. We've got to shut them down in the second half. And we can't let them storm back. And I think that Roquan Smith is going to have an absolute monster of a game. Dang nabbit, Roquan's getting his hands on the ball this game. Between all the action that Eckler gets, he's going to find himself between Eckler and Justin Herbert while Justin Herbert is trying to deliver the football. And so I think Roquan has a 15-plus tackle game. I think he has an interception, and Roquan has himself one heck of a football game. He's my breakout player. But defensively, our key, man, is we've got to shut the door. I had a brief stint coaching my freshman year of college, and I would always tell the team, look, any team can get up, but great teams shut the door, right? Like, so we've got to shut the door. And I put it on our defense to get it done. Let's do it.
Well, look, we like to think it's a pretty good team in Baltimore. And if you look at the schedule currently for the Chargers, and you look at when they play good teams and when they play bad teams, their four wins this year are against the Vikings, the Raiders, the Bears, and the Jets.
Ugh.
That's their four wins. And of course, when they played the Dolphins, they lost. The Cowboys, the Chiefs, they lost. The Lions, they lost. When they play good teams, they lose. When they play bad teams, they have a shot to win, because they also lost to the Titans. So they lose to bad teams as well. But they almost only beat bad teams. And I don't think the Ravens are a bad team. So whether this game is playing here in Baltimore or all the way on Mars, I still pick the Ravens, and I expect them to win the game. And I think the way they help themselves defensively is they, just like I said, they shut down Austin Eckler, they shut down Keenan Allen, and they make Quentin Johnston, who, by the way, they chose to pick before Zay Flowers, one pick before the Ravens.
Can you tell them again, Flowers. Glenn? Tell them again.
They picked this goofball Quentin Johnston over Zay Flowers. This guy is scared to catch the ball, Jimbo. He's had multiple opportunities because of the injuries around him to make big-time catches, and this guy just – he can't do it. He just absolutely can't do it. He doesn't have a dog in him like Zay does. And, yeah, I'm glad they picked him. I'm so glad they picked him, because they love those measurables, Jimbo. They love that 6'4", 4.34, 4 speed. They loved it, Jimbo. And they forgot about the football player. And I love it. So, yeah, make Quentin Johnston beat you. Make them beat you with their tight ends, because I trust, like you said, Jimbo, I trust our linebacking core, and I trust our safeties. And if you're going to beat us throwing at your tight ends, okay, we'll take that, because I'm not going to let Keenan Allen beat me. And it goes right into my player of the week. Brandon Stevens, you're going to be in the pocket. I mean, I want you all over Keenan Allen, all over him. Okay. I don't want this guy breathing. You know, when they pick him up, you know those obnoxious defenders that pick a guy up full court every single play? I want that from Brandon Stevens. When he comes out of the huddle, I want Brandon Stevens to go greet him and walk him to where he's going. Okay? That's what I want. I don't want Keenan Allen to beat us, Jimbo. And if they do that, I think the Ravens will be just fine.
No, I love it, Glenn. Love that. That's awesome. And man, Brandon Stevens, if he can...
What a thought, dude.
I know. Is there any way he doesn't make the Pro Bowl at this point? I mean, who would have thought? I mean, I guess only me. I was the only one in his camp, right? Me and him hanging out. Like,
yeah, I don't think he'll make it because of the lack of numbers and name, but he's certainly deserving. He's still yet to allow a touchdown when he's manned up on a guy yet this year.
Well, yeah. Brandon Stevens, you made it in my book, man. And I tell you what, if he goes out there and puts up a performance against a guy like Keenan Allen,
you know what I mean?
At some point, it becomes undeniable, right? What does the robot and iRobot say? My logic is undeniable. Right? At some point, it's just got to be undeniable. So,
yeah.
Let's
By the way, Jimbo, 427 coverage snaps this year for Brandon Stevens without allowing a touchdown.
Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's...
Dude. By far, the highest in the league. 50 ahead of second place. 50. 50. That's not like a couple. Dude, do it. Dude, don't hurt yourself, bro. Don't do it.
Gotta get the whole arm in there.
And it's just crazy because literally the first and only time it's ever happened in the history of our show where when the Ravens draft a guy, we had no idea who he was.
No idea.
And couldn't even find a scouting report on him.
Nope. They had the wrong position.
Yeah, and it wasn't even like this is a seventh round pick we're talking about. We're talking about a third rounder, and nobody knew who the hell he was.
Yeah, it was absolutely crazy.
Look at him now, dude.
Absolutely. No, shout out to Brandon Stevens for the work he's put in, for the confidence he's got in his game. I just want to say this. That is the importance of allowing youth players to play all positions.
Yep.
I hate that a five-year-old
sports.
All sports, all positions. I hate that a five-year-old is stuck at one position for his whole daggone life, because there's so many other translatable skills you can learn from those other things, right? Like it was so easy. Like instinctually, Brandon understood things so quicker, and he has skills that other DBs don't have because they've been DBs for life.
Yeah,
he has no fear playing in the box.
That's right.
No fear making tackles.
Oh yeah.
You know, trust Mike D 248 says. Off topic, but I want to say I like the Eagles. They traded us the draft pick to get Lamar, and Jalen Hurts helped us keep him. Yeah, look, you ain't wrong. I don't mind. Oh, wait a second. Didn't the Eagles just cut a guy too? Barnett, right?
Yeah, dude. A lot of people are saying the Ravens should reach out to Derek Barnett, who I think is still a good player. He's just had, a log jam of top 10 picks.
Yeah, come hang out here. It's like driving on the freeway at 2 in the morning.
You know what I'm saying? No, come on down, dude. Got some
in
guys.
Comparison to the Eagles.
We got some guys, bro. We're leading the league, all right? We got some guys.
In comparison to the Eagles at his position.
Yeah.
They are just absolutely.
Dude, I would love to see him brought in here. Why not? If he's healthy, let's get him in here. He's made some big
plays. Take a ride,
plays.
Dude. 80 miles south, down 95.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Come on down.
But yeah, Bird Bowl 2023. It could come down to Ravens and Eagles. I don't think anyone would be shocked to see that be the
not at all
the matchup. But Jimbo, I think it's time to get into our over under competition.
And Glenn,
of course,
I just got one question for you. Who makes this competition possible?
Yeah, absolutely. The one and only BetUS, the OGs in sports betting. When it comes, whether it comes to season long bets, in game bets, prop bets. Anything you can imagine, you can bet on anything with BetUS, including any sport. And the best part about BetUS is they don't only match. They match 125% of your initial deposit up to $2,500. And all you got to do to get that free money is use promo code 410. And that's it. I mean, and enjoy it. I mean, it's like I love what Jimmy and his wife do when they make things more fun gambling. Right, Jimbo?
Yeah, that's right. And you can do about the same. So go check out BetUS and make the game more exciting. Make the less exciting games more exciting. And the cool thing is, just like Glenn said, you get free money to do it with.
Couple bucks. 20 bucks. Put it in. 20 bucks.
Right. And they're giving you, what's the math on that?
Well, it's 125%. So it's 45 bucks back, right?
Hey!
Yeah, you get 45.
Take it.
You know what I'm saying, dude? Take that money, man.
That's right. Absolutely. Then you just deposit it, you withdraw it, and you make for it. No, I'm kidding. You play it, you make more.
You double it.
And then you double it again, and you make more. And then you call me. And then we figure out next steps.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when you make too much, then you call us.
And you call. Let's figure this thing out, okay? It's like, anyway, one of my favorite TV shows, the wife goes away for the weekend. She gambles for the first time, comes home with $10,000, and her husband's all excited, and she's like, you know, she's like throwing the money. He's laying on the bed. He like wakes her up, or she wakes him up in the middle of the night, and she's like doing this. And he's like, $10,000. And she's like, yeah, it's 800 in profit. He's like, "Hey, you were $9,200 in the hole?
Holy smokes.
Look, so when you call me, dude, and you're up, look, before you get $9,200 in the hole.
Don't hit the ATM. Don't do it.
That's right. Bet responsibly.
That's right. Absolutely. But look, we look forward to this every week. And I don't have to tell you, you guys know the People's Champ is the reigning and defending.
Did you win last week?
I did. Reigning.
You did?
I think so. Didn't I?
No, didn't I win last week? No, it came down to, dude, I don't even remember.
I thought I won last week. Hold on. Did we win?
Wait, did DK win last week?
I think DK won DK. Last
well,
week.
Well, it doesn't matter. He's not even here. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Who cares? Guy's not here. He's out here running the streets. DK, dude.
who knows if he can even put a full sentence together right now.
Yeah, who knows what this guy's up to. Somebody's holding his hair back right now. but yeah, let's get into it. I wonder if the banners are loaded. Let's see if we got that lucky.
Oh.
Dude, banners loaded, dude.
Nice. DK. All right. All right, glad to see you. I guess I should skills, dude.
Throw this one up. All right, there we go. All right, there it is. Hey. All right, first one is Charlie Kohler target share. Now, this one could get a little bit dicey because right now it's a bit questionable if he'll even play. But yeah. What do you say, Jimbo? Over under 2.5 targets?
Yeah, I'm going under. Mm-hmm. I think if anyone's getting the ball, it's going to be likely. And I think, to be honest, as they kind of work through this transition of Mark not being there, this isn't the game that they go heavy tight end. I think their faith in the tight end room is going to have to increase incrementally as the weeks go on.
Yeah, I, if this was a 1.5, oh, I'd be real tempted. Because I, you know what? I think Charlie's going to get 2 targets. I think he gets 2 in this one. And for that reason, I say under. DK agrees, under as well. So this is a clean sweep when it comes to these 3. All right, let's get into the next one here. Lamar Jackson.
Clean transition, Glenn. That was smooth.
You see how I did that? Lamar Jackson passing yards per attempt. He sets it at 9 for the season. Lamar's at 8.1. What do you think, Jimbo?
Yeah, I'm going over on this one. I think this is going to be a relatively high scoring game and a really fun offensive game for at least the Ravens. I don't think the Chargers. So yeah, I'm going over on this one.
Over. All right. I agree. I think over, but partially because I think the passing game will get a little deeper with Mark injury. I think we expand the field a little bit further. And so for that reason, I think his yards per attempt will go up for the rest of the season, not just for this game. Right. So I say over as well. Looks like DK agrees.
Now, the only counter to that is it could be they could get the guys the ball, like do some, you want to do some more yak stuff. Get it to Zay early. Get it to,
that's true,
OBJ early. But I also see your point.
As long as they succeed in that yak.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I guess
this number goes up.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. It's not like air yards or anything. That's true. The other thing, too, is that our numbers could be skewed highly one way or the other if we run heavy and we have lower attempts, right? So like,
especially if those shots hit.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because that could definitely happen in this game.
Oh yeah. Because best believe we will see a lot of Gus Bus 30, and a lot of Keaton Mitchell. Who is it?
35 and 34, 69.
You got that right. All right, over under Ravens interceptions. 0.5 is where it's currently set at. Jimbo, is Justin Herbert going to turn the ball over this week?
Yes, he's going to turn the ball over. I mean, I already said it. Roquan's getting one. Yes, Justin Herbert's going to turn the ball over. Believe you me. My dad used to say that when he was really mad. And like he wanted you to really know something. He said, believe you me, I'm about to whoop that when we get home. Like, turn you over my knee, boy. Mm-hmm. So believe you me, ladies and gentlemen. As how does it say? As something as the day is long.
Yep.
Justin Herbert's turned over to football.
Well, look, Justin Herbert, he only has 5 picks in 10 games this year.
Yeah, he's turned over to football. Well, that's right on average then.
That's why I think that's why DK put it at 0.5. But look, it's a good defense.
Yeah, that's right.
He's playing. And so
well, I got the interceptions think, leader, right?
Well, Bland, who just broke the record for pick sixes in a season yesterday. He's tied with him, but he has 5.
It's his fault.
Dude, he's got 5 touchdowns. He has more. Deron Bland has more receiving touchdowns this year than Kyle Pitts has for his entire career. How's that feel?
Kyle Pitts has got to be in the pits, dude.
Dude's got 5 pick sixes this year. And I don't know if you saw the one yesterday, Jimbo. It was unbelievable the way
I didn't.
And then, oh, by the way, the Jets are so jet-like. They were down 10-6 this game today. I don't know if you saw the highlights, Jimbo. Mm-mm. They were down 10-6 right before half. Boyle tries a Hail Mary as time's expiring. Javon Holland from the Dolphins picks it
99 yards, right?
And returns that SOB. And not only does he return it all the way as the time has been expired, but he puts a move on Boyle at the 5-yard line as he's going in and just drops him.
Like back on his butt?
Only the Jets could throw a Hail Mary right before half and somehow it goes back all the way for 7.
Sounds like the Jets to me.
But yeah, I think he gets one. And for that reason, we say over. All right, Patrick Queen, total tackles. He sets it at 8.5. He had 11 last week, Jimbo. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's going over. I think he's going over 9. I think 9 is like not a ton for PQ.
Yeah.
I think he gets it done. I'm pretty surprised by your answer. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, did I go out on a limb on this one?
No, DK said over as well.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I say under. And here's why I say under. For one, they're not good at running the ball. And I think they'll abandon it. The first chance they get, they'll abandon running the ball. The reason he had 11 last game is because he was targeted a lot.
Yeah.
And they don't target their tight ends until they get to the red zone. So I just think there's not going to be a ton of opportunity. I don't think Pat Queen's going to have a bad game and miss tackles. I just don't think he'll have an opportunity to get a lot of tackles. I think we'll see a lot more tackles from our secondary because of how they spread the ball around. Yeah. So for that reason, I say under. I think he gets
eight. If he tackles Eckler two times a quarter, he's already at eight.
Eckler ain't getting handoffs two times a quarter. I know that. He might catch some balls, but I think they're going to abandon that run game.
Yeah, bro. All right. I can see that too. That's fair. But I feel good about PQ going over. I mean, you had to be on the fence about that one, right? That wasn't like
super. I had over, and I changed it to under.
Right, that's fair. All right. What's
I wanted to win, dude.
Yeah, well, we all do.
Yep.
It can only be one of us.
Here we go, Jimbo. Let me just make a quick alteration.
Wait a second. Are you?
What happened, dude?
Oh, are you?
All right. Let's go to the first tiebreaker. We're going to talk. We're going to talk total score over under a combined point total of 48.5. Jimbo, will they have more or less than 48.5 combined points?
Yeah, I'm going over on this one. And I feel okay about this. I think the Ravens, and correct my math if it's wrong here, Glenn, but I'm saying this game is 31-20. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Would they average 26 as an offense?
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, and our defense gives up like 17?
Yep, 26. 26, and we give up 16.
16, okay. So, I mean, somewhere around the middle of that, I think is fair. Mm-hmm. And so, because they're going to get points at the end, they're going to fight, you know, they're going to start to storm back, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think 31-20, I think that puts us over. So I'm going over on this one.
All right. I'm going to say under. I think it's just like a 24-16 type game, if is my guess. So I think it's relatively lower scoring when it comes to the AFC this year. But look, it's a good defense, and the Ravens are traveling. I think they run the ball. Get out of there. Get out of Dodge with a win. And for that reason, I say under.
Get out, but win, and leave LA immediately. Let's not stay and hang out and get in trouble.
No, get out of there.
Yeah.
And then our final tiebreaker, our closest to the pin portion of this tiebreaker. And look, DK's not here to defend himself.
Are we proud of what we've done? Yes.
Not entirely, but
yes.
Okay, actually, yeah, I am. Just to give you context, DK's closest to the pin prediction is 360 total yards for your Baltimore Ravens. Jimbo, what is your prediction on the total yards?
Yeah, my total yards is 360 and a half yard. Glenn, what about yours?
Mine is 359 and one half yard. So, I mean, DK has got a – what if he ends up being right?
Imagine 360 on the dot.
That's the only way DK can win, okay? So anything 359 or less, I win. Anything 360 and a half and more, Jimmy wins. So we've really
look, you can't make it. Here. You pay the price.
Yep.
You
this
know?
Is what you get. That's for right. Running and gunning. You know what I'm saying?
Running and out there, just slaying out there, dude.
Yeah, man. This is what you get.
Oh, that's awesome. I can't wait for this game. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And make sure you guys, of course, participate. This is not just an intra show between us here. This mm-hmm. is for everyone. So all you got to do to participate in the competition is take your answers to the over-unders and the close to the pin, all the questions we just laid out, and submit them in you know, any of the social media handles, see above Glenn's head, in a private message.
Mm-hmm.
Or, of course, you can submit it in the comment section of YouTube, not the chat section. Do not edit it. If you're going to change it, please just delete your original and add a new one. All that being said, looking forward to this game. You guys have we have one more thing. Okay. Don C said, I love Flacco, but isn't it cool to not hear the questions every week? Is he elite? We are lucky to have Lamar and not even questioning him being elite. Yes. Thank you. People forget so quickly how mm-hmm. awesome it is or how terrible it is when you not have a guy as electric as Lamar Jackson.
No doubt.
Thank you. James Lee Wiley says Raven will be.
I think will embarrass is what this was.
Chargers will embarrass the Chargers and cost Staley his job. Mm-hmm. Ravens by 20. Like it. Yeah. Brandon. Billy Belichick's going to end up out in SoCal getting himself some rays out there on the beach, man. He would hate LA. Oh, he would hate LA.
Yeah.
No, he would hate it. Like, yeah, when I say he would hate it, he would absolutely hate it.
That's not his type of atmosphere.
Not his vibe at all.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No. He's
a troll. I mean, a literal, like, he lives in a mountain. That's where he would love.
Yeah. 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 He's not a guy for the glitz and glamour of Hollywood. That, I think, is safe to say.
No.
But yeah, that's it for us tonight, guys. Don't forget, we will be back after the game. So, yes, it's late. But if you want to come celebrate with us, we'll be here live. Or if you want to come complain if things don't go well, which they won't.
Miserate.
They're going to go great. But if they do, we'll be here as well for that. We don't duck post-game shows like some people do when their team loses. We show up win or loss. We ain't scared.
That's right. So be here or be
square.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great night.